On today's episode, we unleash a bold new artistic vision. New look, same great taste. It's Boldly Going Nowhere, Reboot Edition.
Half the calories, but all the apathy.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are Boldly Going Nowhere. So, Colin, let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
Do you think people can change?
Sure.
Yeah? Do you think people can make change?
Uh-huh.
Do you think you can make change for a dollar?
Ah!
Welcome to Boldly Going Nowhere, folks. I am Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas, and that was a corny joke.
Only when you pointed out.
Okay, I don't think I would need to have pointed that out, but I mean...
True. You know, it's okay.
Gotta shake the cobwebs out.
Yeah. Speaking of shaking cobwebs, this is what we like to call a reboot. Uh-oh, they're rebooting it. I know. Today's theme is rebirth, because we now have themes. Instead of doing what we did before, which was have a bunch of segments that didn't really go together, and comment on the news when
we never really followed it in the first place.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be completely honest. I've never really been one to read the news, so I think it was pretty obvious that our news segments were just things we pulled out of our asses.
Or AOL's asses.
AOL's ass, to be more correct. They are
or just the conglomerated ass of the internet.
Right. They are pretty much... the ass of the internet.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, we decided to turn things around here, turn over a new leaf, and change up the format. So I feel what was always best about the two of us, our dynamic, is our discussions. So taking out all the segments, all the little corny sound effects, all the, you know, the musical breaks... all those things that we were basically trying to make it like a real radio show, when the strength of podcasting is that it's not real radio. You can do whatever you want.
And that's true.
Yeah, the best podcasts are the ones that do what they want and don't try to fit, you know, put a, you know, the square peg into the round hole.
Yeah.
So all we're going to do is just we're going to talk to each other about things that are important to us, and... if you enjoy what we're talking about, if you agree with what we say, if you don't agree, hopefully it's still at least an entertaining conversation to listen to. And really, that's what you're asking for.
Yeah.
You're not asking for stupid sound effects. You're asking for an enlightening discussion that hopefully you'll respond to as well.
Yeah, if you want dumb sound effects, go to Elliot in the Morning.
Yeah, seriously. So, that being said, let's get on and talk about our new discussion, which is rebirth. What does it mean to start over?
Well, that depends on how you mean start over.
Well, I mean, in your opinion, obviously, every question is going to be, you know, dependent on the person being asked. So.
Well, now, when you say start over, now, are we rebooting? Are we remaking?
That's true. There's a lot of distinctions to be had here.
Yeah. Because, I mean... a reboot incorporates elements of the original while still maintaining an air of originality.
Right.
Whereas a remake is just basically rehashing the exact same elements, just you know, line after line, just like, hey, have we seen this before? Yeah, I think we have.
Let's just make it slightly shinier.
Yeah, there you go.
That's, you know, that's basically Apple's motto, I guess.
Pretty much.
Well, in this case, I guess we're talking about whichever one you want.
I think in our case, this would be a reboot.
In our case, this would be a reboot, because we're taking the same series but changing it up, changing the elements enough that it's still something recognizably new and different.
Hopefully.
But I think the term reboot or the concept of it was sort of originated or popularized by comics, right?
Yes, because they were famous for... I mean, comic books are just, you know, they're just minefields of irregularity when it comes to their continuity.
Right. Not a lot of stability in the universes of most comics. Which is also why comics are so easy to adapt, and also why those adaptations are themselves so prone to be remade or rebooted.
Because of the fact that, you know, there are so many elements that some people like, and then so many elements that other people will dislike.
Right. Because comics rely on the strength of the character, so you can take that same character, as long as he's true to the character, put him in any situation you want, whatever his circumstances may be, he's going to be the same character, and people will still enjoy it, or not enjoy it, but it'll still be that movie.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's take something like The Hulk, which, you know, there was the Ang Lee version.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the reaction you should have.
Well, yeah.
And then there's the Edward Norton version, which is what I'm trying to peg down. Would you consider it a reboot, a remake, or what I like to call a do-over? When you take a movie that has not, that failed the first time, and just remake it, adding nothing to it, just trying to do it better than it was.
I think the Edward Norton Incredible Hulk would have to fall under a do-over. Because Ang Lee's Hulk was just so piss-poor that, I mean, Eric Bana did not make an imposing figure. I mean, Eric Bana in Star Trek, that was imposing. Eric Bana in The Hulk, I mean, for Christ's sake, he's a 10-foot-tall, gamma-irradiated monster. And I'm like, I could kick this dude's ass if I really wanted to.
Yeah, if you fail to make the Incredible Hulk incredible or even intimidating, then you have failed as a filmmaker.
Which is funny, because it's the same dude that, you know, wowed us with Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Well, that may be it. I mean, that was a movie that was not trying to be a Western film. As soon as this guy comes over and tries to do something that is supposed to be an American summer blockbuster type movie, yeah, you're going to fail.
I guess.
I mean, if you take a filmmaker who's good at one thing and have him try and do something completely different, then it's going to suck.
Yeah, it's like having Eli Roth write a romantic comedy.
Now that I would like to see. Only for the sheer train wreck aspect of it. But just because I'm thinking of a romantic comedy with gallons of blood and F-bombs.
Well, there's still Hostel 3 to look forward to.
Oh, goody. Hostel 3, When Harry Met Sally, and then ripped out her spleen.
Yes, I know!
I mean, could you think of anyone less intimidating than Billy Crystal?
I don't know, dude. If you think about it, it's always the least intimidating ones that end up going, like, the craziest when they finally snap.
You know, George Carlin had a bit about that, you know, like he's
really?
Like, you know how they always say that it's the quiet ones you gotta watch, it's the quiet ones you gotta watch. What about the guy over here going, I'm gonna fucking kill every last one of you sons of bitches? Shouldn't you watch out for that guy, maybe just a little bit more?
Well, yeah, but see, it's the ones that are always, you know, planning your revenge but never vocalizing
I'm
about
sorry,
it.
I'm sorry, but George Carlin is smarter than you.
George Carlin's dead.
Okay, I guess he can't be that smart then.
Yeah. If you're decomposing, you're not smart.
He's still a great comic.
Oh, well, I'm not going to doubt that.
I think George Carlin's corpse could still be a better comedian.
Than me? Probably.
I was going to say someone who sucks. Like Carlos Mencia.
Yes.
But I digress. If you want to hear a really interesting interview with Carlos Mencia, by the way, check out Mark Maron's podcast, WTF. He actually does a two-part interview with Carlos Mencia. Ned Mencia, to some. Because that's his real name.
What?
Which is really fascinating. And, to be honest, does not actually do much in the way of assuaging any doubts about Carlos Mencia. But he sure tried. I mean, he gave a good interview. So, when we're talking about do-overs, my theory is that you can't reboot something unless there's been enough films in the series to actually warrant a reboot.
Okay, so, like, reboots would fall under the categories of Star Trek.
Yep.
What else would be a good example? Star Trek would be the most prevalent of them, because there were 6 Star Trek films before the 2009 remake.
Right, so basically, if you take a series that's been around for a while and then just make a new movie but take off all the numbers,
mm-hmm.
you're rebooting it.
Right.
A remake, you can do a remake as many times as you want, you know, just remaking the same movie. So the new Hulk wouldn't have been a reboot, it would have been a remake. And a do-over is a specific kind of remake where you're trying to redo a shitty movie, as we said.
Yeah, you're just erasing the stain of the former filmmaker.
Yeah, so not all remakes are do-overs, but all do-overs are remakes.
Yes.
But not all. So let's talk about some that were actually good remakes.
Good remakes, okay. Let's see. There was...
It's tough, I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hulk would be one.
I actually didn't see the Edward Norton one. So.
The Edward Norton Hulk is actually quite good.
Quite good or just good?
Pretty good. I think the only element was that the love interests should have been reversed, because in the Hulk...
In terms of gender?
No. Reversed as in the actress in the Ang Lee Hulk was Jennifer Connelly. And I thought she was quite good as a sort of counterbalance to... The Bruce Banner character.
Also, Jennifer Connelly's pretty hot.
Jennifer Connelly is smoking hot.
So you want... Okay, so I was just thinking about this the other day. You know what's weird about Jennifer Connelly that... Like, I don't... There are certain actors and actresses that I know everything they've been in. But then there's others that are like, I like them, but I don't really pay attention to their career that much.
Yeah.
So it kind of occurred to me that Jennifer Connelly's been in a lot of movies that I like that I just never realized it was her.
Can you give me a for instance?
So, I mean, I think her first probably big role was probably Labyrinth, right?
Yes.
And probably one of the ones she might be
best known for. That's one of the big ones.
So, before, I'd seen Labyrinth however many times, and before that, you know, she was always just the chick from Labyrinth. Like, eventually, I sort of started recognizing her as Jennifer Connelly, and then... I'm watching all these movies recently, and she's in them. Like, let's take Dark City.
Uh-huh.
Jennifer Connelly was the love interest in Dark City.
Yes, she was.
Not a movie that many people have seen.
Which is a shame, because it's a good movie.
It's an awesome movie. I love Dark City.
Yeah.
So she was in Dark City. Uh-huh. I was watching something just the other day that she was in.
She was in Beautiful Mind.
Was she in Beautiful Mind? See, that was not
the one
I said.
Yeah, she was the love interest to Russell Crowe.
I did not even realize that.
No small task there.
I actually... see if you can think of any more. I'm just going to bring up her...
She was in The Rocketeer.
...real quick. She was in The Rocketeer. Wow, you are a lot better at this than I am. See, I have to actually resort to looking on the internet for this. Because I'm trying to remember what the actual movie I watched. I was like, I had no idea she was in this. Just like Dark Scene, I was like,
she was in The Day the Earth Stood Still, the remake with Keanu Reeves.
Was she? I thought that was someone else.
Nope, that's her.
Well, let me look, because like I said, I like Jennifer Connelly. I'm not like a you know.
No, yeah.
Like, to me, it's cool when you actually put two and two together, and you're like, she was in Requiem for a Dream?
Yep.
I'm like, for the longest time, the only movie I could, you know, that I knew her from was Labyrinth.
She was in Vending the Abbots.
She's been in a ton of movies.
She was in The Hot Spot.
Wow, I mean, yeah, she was in Hulk. She was, right, it was Blood Diamond. Blood Diamond was
yeah,
the movie
was in Blood
that
Diamond.
I was watching
was
the other day.
In Blood Diamond.
And I didn't, like, it never occurred to me the first time around when I was seeing these movies that was Jennifer Connelly. So it's always after I go back and watch a movie.
No, I don't blame you, dude. She's hot.
And yes, she's hot.
She's one of my top five.
Really? Would you say top five?
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
I don't know if I'd put her on top five, but she's hot.
She's got that combination of the natural beauty, but also she's got the talent.
She is a good actress, too. Like, Labyrinth was a stupid character, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, you gotta admit, it was early career. Now, we're not gonna take... You can't take, like she's never had a bad role. I mean, there's only one actor slash actress. I mean, there's only one thespian in the history of Hollywood who's never had a bad role.
You only say one?
Only one.
Who?
Liam Neeson.
I agree.
I mean, I don't agree
that he's the only one who's never had a bad role.
He's the only one I've found.
I mean, let's take... Well, since we're talking about Blood Diamond, I would say that Leonardo DiCaprio is another actor who I don't think has had a bad role.
Titanic.
Even in Titanic, you know, he was still decent and enough performance. I don't like Titanic as a movie, and I don't like the fact that it sort of, at least for a while there, turned him into this sort of, like, teen pop idol sort of thing, which I think he realized that, too, and why he had to get away from it.
To be perfectly honest, in my opinion, I mean, there wasn't anything bad about his Titanic performance, but the problem is the way the character was written, he was getting by on his looks. And so he had to put...
Okay, I can kind of give you that.
Okay, and so he had to put forth a very little effort in his acting, in his role in that movie. And therefore, I don't think that's a good role for him.
All right, in that case, I will concede just this once. They have a point. So, all right, he's had one. But every other role that he has had that I like awesome roles. I mean, did you see Inception?
Yes, I did.
That movie was amazing.
Yes, in fact, I'm probably going to go see it again tonight.
I don't blame you, man.
It's a good movie.
I felt the same way at the end of that movie that I did the first time I saw The Matrix. And I love The Matrix. I've probably seen the first Matrix, I don't know, 17 times, to give just a pick a number there. At least well over 10 or 15.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, that's probably a very low estimate.
And right, because it's one of those movies that every time it's on TV, I will watch it, no matter how many times I've seen it. Pulp Fiction's another example of that.
Yeah.
No matter how many times I watch Pulp Fiction, I will put it on. Or I will say I will watch it if it's on. It's because I don't go out of my way to be like, I think I'm going to watch The Matrix now. I'm going to watch Pulp Fiction. But if it's on, I'm going to turn to it, even if there's something on that I haven't even seen. Just they know how to get me in. So Inception will definitely be one of those movies that...
Yeah.
10 years from now,
I'll still watch that.
You know, if I see it on Stars or something, I'm going to put it on.
Yeah.
So, Leo was awesome in that. Leo was awesome in The Departed.
Oh.
Awesome in Blood Diamond. I will actually say Blood Diamond, not ashamed to say at all that was one of the few movies that actually made me come close to crying.
Really?
Yeah. It's been out long enough that I can spoil this, but when he is at the end, he's about to die, he's kind of laying out on the grass, on that hill, with, yep. What was the black dude's name? Jimon Hansu? I don't know. Yep. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce his first name.
No, but I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, that guy's really great, too.
Yeah. You know, he's supposed to be the new, villain in the new Conan movie?
Oh, boy.
Talk about reboots. There's reboots that never should exist. That's one of them.
Yeah. Actually, let's look at this. So, here's a list. Here's a short list of some reboots that are currently being announced or in development.
They've either been announced, they're in development, or they're on hold, but they've been announced. It's going to happen.
Some of these I like, some of these I'm a bit indifferent to, and some of these make me want to go to Hollywood and burn down whatever studio is responsible for this debacle.
Yeah.
Or soon-to-be debacle.
Yeah.
Starting with Superman.
Okay. Now, this one it's legitimate after Superman Returns, in which there was so much fan backlash. And we're talking, like, comic book fans, the movie fans. No one liked that movie, which was kind of a shame because I thought Kevin Spacey put forward a better Lex Luthor than Gene Hackman did in the original films.
Well, I have an issue whenever you take someone who's a serious actor, you know, take that term serious as you will.
Yeah.
But I would definitely call Kevin Spacey a serious actor. He's not. He doesn't play, like, stupid comedies or things like that. He's generally in pretty serious movies or serious roles.
Yeah, okay.
So I have an issue when you take a serious actor and put him in a role that's obviously a goofy role. Like, for example, putting Zimon Hounsou as the villain in Conan. There's no way that is not going to be a goofy actor. When you take someone who's that good an actor and make them do something that stupid. I mean, let's not make. I mean, no one's been. I'm sure no one's twisting the guy's arm. I mean, he's going to get paid a boatload
unless he's
of money
under
to do
unless
it.
He's under a contract.
You know, either way, he still had to sign the contract to begin with.
Okay, but anyway, so Superman, that I can see, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't really care. That's one I'm neutral to, just because I've never been a fan of Superman. It's never done anything for me
there
as a series.
There you go.
Or as a
That's
character.
Fine.
Number two, Highlander.
Really?
You know what? I actually don't have an issue with that. Like, I like the first Highlander movie, but it's not one of those movies that I think is, like, untouchable.
No. And see, the problem is that what facet of Highlander are they rebooting? Because you've got Connor McLeod.
Connor, right.
Which is Christopher Lambert's character. Okay, now he's dead at this point. In the Highlander continuity, he died in Highlander. Oh, God, what was it?
Well, he didn't actually die. He just headed back to Outworld.
Yeah, something like that.
Because he's right in.
Yeah, he's right in Mortal Kombat. But the problem is, with that one, it's which character are they going to be rebooting? Are they going to reboot Connor McLeod or Duncan McLeod?
Yeah.
Because I never liked Duncan's character. I always thought Duncan was kind of a bitch.
Yeah. I definitely like the first one, and everything after that is just sort of a hazy blur.
Yeah.
To me. Wasn't there a TV show at some point?
Yeah, Duncan McLeod's character is the central character of the
right,
Highlander TV show.
Yeah, I get that.
And then the
confused.
Later Highlander movies were based on, which not necessarily they weren't bad. It's just Duncan's character compared to Connor is kind of a bitch.
Right, but there already were a couple sequels, so already there can only be one. Does not even apply to this series.
Yes, and very obviously not true.
Yeah, and it's a good enough concept that I wouldn't mind seeing it. A well done.
No, so I reboot. if it can be done well, then I would pay to see it.
Yeah. Next one, RoboCop. This one I actually think is a great idea.
I'll give you that. I liked the first RoboCop movie, and then I saw RoboCop 2, and I was like, oh, it's not. And then I saw RoboCop 3, and everything went to hell.
Yeah. Well, it tends to happen with threes.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Godfather.
Yeah. So, but the first RoboCop movie was awesome. I mean, because that's a concept that could have been something really stupid and corny. And the first RoboCop movie is brutal.
It's brutal, but it's also got some very clever comedic moments that you really honestly, you know, you don't pick up on when you're younger. Because we were all, like, what, around 10 or 12 when we first saw that movie.
Yeah.
You know, because... Well, I mean, when we first saw it, it was
probably one of the first R-rated movies I saw as a kid.
Yeah, same here.
Because my parents never had any, you know, issues with that.
But, I mean, honestly, to this day, one of the very few moments in movies that I'll still laugh at, no matter how many times I've seen it, is the scene where where the one dude gets covered in toxic waste.
Yeah.
And he's just, like, walking through, you know, the abandoned steel. And then, you know, Red Thurman runs him over.
Yeah. But, I mean, even just, like, the very beginning of RoboCop, before he, you know, is RoboCop, when he's actually getting, you know...
That scene is still
that is
one
brutal. I mean,
that
they
is one of the most...
Yeah, up.
Yeah, they did. They, you see, like, if... Like, in the movie, you don't see a lot... And, like, in the normal cut of it, you don't see a lot of it.
Yeah.
But if you watch the director's cut, you literally see them take him apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
It's fucking...
Paul Verhoeven did not cut corners with that thing.
No, man. He... In fact, I'm betting the majority of the budget was spent on that one scene.
Oh, no doubt.
Like, where you see Peter Weller get the fuck blown out of him.
Like, and now the stop motion effects, you know, maybe a little corny. I mean, everything was stop motion back then. Which is why it would be awesome to see RoboCop done with, you know, modern day graphics and effects.
And I'll admit this.
It'd be just as brutal.
It was, yeah, see, even though it was stop motion, that's still one of the more visceral shooting scenes I've seen in a movie.
Well, it is, yeah.
I mean, with all the CG movies that have come out in the last couple of years, I haven't seen one that's a lot worse than that.
Well, that's the thing. I think practical effects are always going to hold up better than CG, just because technology changes so quickly in that department that things that were CG, you know, that were considered top-of-the-line computer graphics 5-10 years ago look like shit now.
Yeah.
Compared to what's out. Whereas something that's... Those stop-motion films, some of them look cheesy...
Some of those effects look cheesy,
really,
but some of those, when pulled off correctly, it's just like it's actually going down.
Yeah, like they look, you know, they were well done enough that it still has that kind of visceral feeling because it's something that is at least somewhat physical.
Yeah,
you could touch those props.
Yeah,
and also the thing is, like, what happens to prop? That's another thing. What happens to prop makers now? Like in today's,
they're still around, even though a good majority of the sets now have been replaced by CG elements, anything that they handle physically is still handled by a prop maker. So,
well, they still have to have... Yeah, they still have to have a props of some sort. But
yes.
I don't know.
Some of those props have to be incorporated into the green screen effect themselves. So,
well, right now, a lot of filmmakers are sort of taking a step back from CG and trying to go back towards more practical effects. Like, I was reading Chris Nolan... as an example, is a guy who likes to rely as much as possible on practical effects. So as much in what you see in Inception, obviously a ton of that is going to be computer generated, but as much of what he could pull off with practical effects as possible, he did.
Yeah, like that, you know, that scene in Inception where they're fighting in the hallway?
Yeah.
And gravity's all fucked up?
My favorite scene in the movie, without
that
a doubt.
That's all real. None of that's computer generated.
Yeah, I mean, that fight is, like, that's the new bullet time for me.
Yeah, I think
that's going to be big. Cause,
honestly,
know,
I think, in my opinion, like, you were talking about Matrix earlier, that's probably better than the, you know, the slow-mo, you know, gunfights in the Matrix.
Right, but yeah, I think...
This is the next logical progression.
Yeah, like, now it's going to be fights in altered gravity. Is going to be the new bullet time. Because you remember how after The Matrix, like, every video game, every movie had to have the sort of slow motion bullet time thing, and slow motion was the big thing.
Oh, God.
Now I think it's going to be having those weird, like, situations with crazy gravity.
Oh, God. I just had a horrible thought.
What?
They're probably going to make a Half-Life movie now.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Well, no. I don't know.
It could be done.
I really hope they don't, but unsure on that one. That could
work, but I'm just saying. Just, you know, think about it. If you're talking about fights in, like, little to no gravity...
Who would you have play Gordon Freeman?
Hugh Laurie. Dr. House.
Explain.
Well, think about it. I mean, he's got the look. Give him a goatee, a pair of black horn rims. He's Gordon Freeman. He's going to have little to no speaking
actually,
dialogue.
Actually, now that I think about it, I think I've seen a Photoshop picture somewhere. Of that someone Photoshopped Hugh Laurie as... There, yep, here it is. Someone Photoshopped in Hugh Laurie as Gordon Freeman. So, you might be onto something there, because apparently other people have had the same idea.
I know.
He does look the part, like... That is kind of uncanny.
And the thing
is... I know
is,
no one can see this right now, but do a Google image search for
House Life
instead of Half-Life, and you'll see what we're talking about. It actually does work.
Yeah. And see, the thing is about... I mean, even though Hugh Laurie is British, I mean, if you watch him on House, you're not going to detect his accent, But and he's got one of those thick British accents, but he's a talented enough actor that he can voice, you know, he can do voice dialogue. You know, he can coach his dialogue to whatever dialect he needs to. But Gordon Freeman has, like, no speaking dialogue.
Right, so you could do whatever you... That's what you could do whatever you want with that character. He could be... Which is why I was... My recommendation, which is probably not as good a recommendation, ultimately, as Hugh Laurie, except that he looks the part even more, is Adam Savage from Mythbusters, obviously. Because in the games... Gordon Freeman does have red hair.
Okay,
and a
yeah.
red beard.
No,
like,
no, no,
Adam Savage looks exactly like Gordon Freeman.
Okay. All right, I'll give you that.
But, I mean, obviously he's, you know, well, I wouldn't say obviously, but he's not going to have the same acting chops that Hugh Laurie is going to have.
But see, then you fall into that pitfall where because the character himself has no spoken dialogue in the games, is some hack writer going to, you know, give him dialogue?
Yeah.
Forced dialogue. Ugh.
Well, they have to. They have to give him something. I mean, can... Let's have a thought experiment right here. Can you think of any movie that you've ever seen that where the lead character did not speak at all?
At all?
Either of you. Can you think of one? I can't think of one. I can't think of a movie where the main character never uttered a single word. And don't say a silent movie, obviously, but...
Okay, give me a minute.
A movie with dialogue.
Okay.
I was going to say Wally, but...
Actually, not bad, James. Not a bad suggestion there.
I mean, he says what?
He says Wally.
He says Wally and Eva.
Yeah.
He does technically speak still. But that's probably the closest I can think of. To a main character that doesn't have any dialogue.
Yeah, you got me there.
So obviously they're going to give Gordon Freeman dialogue. So the question is, what type of character would Gordon Freeman be? Would he be really? Would he be cracking jokes? Would he be kind of making light of the situation? In that case, Adam Savage would be better because Adam Savage is a funny guy.
Or would he be the scientific type who's sort of despondent in that sort of twisted Orwellian nightmare? Because in that case, Hugh Laurie as the house character
would be the better. Definitely. So that actually is really determined by where the writers want to go with it and who's writing it. Going to have a really big part.
Also gonna.
So
like, say if you were gonna have, like, who's a talented sci-fi writer? Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Ah, see, now that's a tough one because Joss Whedon can go one of two ways on that. He can go with the twisted Orwellian version, and then that way you'd have to go with House, or he could conceivably create a Gordon Freeman who could crack jokes, and then you'd have to go with Adam Savage.
Could you just imagine how many nerds would just, like...
drop loads in their pants due
right,
to that?
Would just come in their pants if they heard Joss Whedon was making a Half-Life movie?
Well, see, but then you fall into that... You know, there are fans of Joss Whedon, and then there are not fans of Joss Whedon.
True, but fans of Joss Whedon are rabid enough that they would take on all the non-fans.
Well, I mean, we're not talking
what I'm
like...
saying is, I don't think there are people who dislike Joss Whedon as much as the people who like him. You know what I'm saying? Like, aren't people whose dislike is
there are less fans who hate Joss Whedon than there are who like him.
Right. But I'm just talking about the intensity of the feeling.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't think there's anyone who hates Joss Whedon as much as a person who
Look at it this way. If your fans are willing to firebomb the Fox headquarters because they canceled Firefly, then you got some pretty passionate fans.
Yeah. So that is nothing to be trifled with, the power of the fan army.
All right.
But getting back, because we got off way off what we were talking about, because we were still going to list, and we were only on the third one, which was RoboCop.
Yeah.
Which, just for the record, good idea.
Yes,
like it.
Yes, I would say thumbs up. So let's go with thumbs up, thumbs down with this. So
that
Superman,
works.
We'll give a tentative
thumb
middle thumb.
Sideways,
we'll give a thumb sideways.
All right, thumb sideways.
We'll give him the M. Bison salute.
Yeah. Highlander, thumb at a 45-degree angle.
No, I'll give a thumbs up.
Yeah, let's not get too...
I'll give thumbs up.
We're just going to stick with
RoboCop is a definite thumbs up.
Definitely thumbs up.
Okay, now this next one, it's a total
this
thumbs down.
This next one's a thumbs down for me. Spider-Man.
It's totally thumbs down. Because I would be happy if they remade the Spider-Man series, only because I want the stink of Tobey Maguire washed away from Peter Parker. But see, the problem is, that's never going to happen. It's just, they'll find someone worse, and it'll be even worse. And that'll be pining for the days where Tobey Maguire was playing Spider-Man. And I don't want that. The day I pine for Tobey Maguire as one of my favorite characters,
yeah,
I think I really would have to kill myself. That would be the end of days for me.
Yeah, I would say I'm pretty indifferent. Indifferent to negative in regards to Tobey Maguire. But his stink can't be as bad as Robert Pattinson's, the dude from Twilight. I read an interview somewhere, or some sort of stupid piece, that apparently Robert Pattinson never bathes and never washes his hair. So he literally stinks to high heaven because he's, in order to avoid paparazzi and getting swarmed, like, I was reading, like, all his fellow actors on the set, like, can't stand being around him because of how badly he smells.
Did he ever not think of just having, you know, like, security?
You know what? Probably not. But he seems like he's probably a weird dude. So, anyways.
Okay. So, Spider-Man, thumbs down.
Definite thumbs down for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic Four.
That's like two thumbs down. Like, those movies sucked.
I just don't understand. I mean, no,
I think just don't.
Eh. I mean, I saw the first one, and the first one was all right.
Well, what they could have done, if they'd done a do-over right away, instead of making Silver Surfer, they'd done a do-over like they did with Hulk, then maybe. But since they tried to, make a sequel to an already shitty movie that turned out to be even shittier, they lost any chance to do anything with Fantastic Four.
The problem is, when you're capitalizing on one of your star's hotness to sell tickets, you've lost before you've even started.
Yeah.
Because that's what Fantastic Four was doing. They were trying to capitalize on Jennifer Alba's hotness.
Yeah. My thoughts on Jessica Alba? Jennifer Alba?
Did I say Jennifer Alba?
I don't.
It's Jessica Alba.
It is Jessica Alba. No, I wasn't sure about it.
Yeah.
Just because that changed my thoughts. I just... her and Megan Fox, like, I've never found either of them to be... like, they are attractive ladies.
No, don't get me wrong. No, I'll join you there. Jessica
I've
Alba...
I've been, like, obsessed with either of them.
Jessica Alba, in her early career, when she was doing Dark Angel on Fox, she was good-looking. I'll give her that. Megan Fox, in my opinion, has never been attractive. I mean, she was, like, what? When she first came on the scene, she was, like, 17 years old. So, that was in Transformers.
Yeah.
And she was jailbait at that point, so that, no go.
Right.
Then, Transformers 2, Revenge of the Fallen came out. Well,
those are other movies that are banking, basically, on the star's hotness.
Yeah, pretty much. And at that point, and then I saw her in, like, a trailer for some other movie, some horror movie where she's a vampire or some shit. I'm like, she is looking more burnt every time I see her on screen. And then I saw her in a couple of clips from Jonah Hex. She looks like she aged, like, 20 years.
Maybe she did.
She looks like shit.
Maybe she got caught in a time vortex or something.
I guess, I mean...
maybe my thing is just, like, I just don't really get attracted to women who wear, like, a ton of makeup.
I don't get attracted to women who have spray tans.
Well, that too.
Spray tans are not good.
Just, like, I don't know. Maybe I have weird taste, whatever.
No.
Just, I don't find Jessica Alba or Megan Fox to be as hot as everyone says they are.
All right, I'll say Jessica Alba is hot. Megan Fox, no. All
right, moving on.
Sorry.
Daredevil.
I'm gonna give it an M. Bison salute.
Yeah.
My opinion.
I was indifferent to the first one. I'll be indifferent to the reboot.
Well, I'm giving it the M. Bison salute because I like the Daredevil character. I like him. In my opinion, it's one of the well done comics, and mostly because when it was rebooted in last, like, the last decade by Kevin Smith. It got really, really good.
Yeah.
You know? And so, the only, and see, but I'm indifferent because the last time they did a Daredevil movie, who was Daredevil?
Ben Affleck.
God, and it's just like...
Ben, I'm not Matt Damon Affleck.
I mean, seriously, I'd rather, I mean, get the talented one of the two of them, please. I, you know what, Matt Damon, if he had been Daredevil, I would have seen that movie.
I know. Does he fit Daredevil? I don't know, whatever.
Does Ben Affleck fit Daredevil?
I guess, I don't... The thing you have to remember, I'm not that as big a comics fan as you, which is why I am indifferent to a lot of these, just because I'm not a huge comics fan, so yeah. A lot of these are comic reboots, as, you know, makes
sense. In my opinion, I don't think... Ben Affleck's just a shitty actor. So that's why I'm saying that, you know... That's why I didn't like the Daredevil film, because...
Well, he's going to be in the new Departed-type movie.
The Town.
Which, I can't tell really what the difference is between that and the Departed. I mean, it says...
There
it
is no
the
difference. It is the Departed.
Like...
It's the Departed,
the
but
Departed,
with a...
Departed, but if they're going to keep... If that's going to be the new thing that they're going to keep making every movie of, I'm going to get tired of it. And it's Ben Affleck in the lead.
Yeah, so. I know. The problem is, I saw that trailer last night when I went to see Inception.
Yeah.
And, I mean, The Town, really?
Right.
You couldn't come up with a better name?
Yeah, well, you're taking a huge step down, in that movie from, you know, Leo, DiCaprio, and...
I mean, you had an all-star cast in that movie,
Who was across from him? In The Departed?
You got Leo DiCaprio. You got Matt Damon.
Matt Damon,
Jack Nicholson.
So you're basically moving one step down. You're going from...
Oh, no. You're going like 12 steps down.
A lot of steps down.
You got Ben Affleck.
And some guy I don't know.
That douchebag from SWAT.
Yeah.
That's like his best friend. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, really? This is how bad you guys are. You're that hard up for actors.
Yeah,
you get the B-list from SWAT.
Exactly. You're taking the same movie and just replacing the actors with shittier versions of themselves.
Ugh.
So, yeah, not much chance there. So,
yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's definitely. I'm gonna give. Yeah, and Bison salute for Daredevil.
Yeah. Mortal Kombat.
Oh, okay. I've seen this trailer and I'm in the minority here. I don't like it.
Really? I thought it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting idea.
It's an interesting take on the idea, but in my opinion, I just... No. Just no.
Yeah. Look up the Mortal Kombat trailer.
Yeah,
so
look
you
it
know
up. It's under Mortal Kombat Rebirth on YouTube.
Yeah.
And you'll find it. It's definitely a different take on the story. It's no more blue and yellow garbed ninjas. It's like literally they go like... well into detail. And I gotta admit, some of the characters that I saw in the trailer look interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Scorpion character. I'm gonna go see this movie. You know, when it comes out. I'll see it. Whether or not I like it, that's gonna be, that's gonna be contingent on how they put the story. And another thing that they're doing in here, this is a problem I have with movies that are based on game premises, because sometimes, due to fan popularity of a certain character, they will shift the attention away from the game's central character towards another character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, if you see the Mortal Kombat trailer on YouTube, you'll notice that the central character in the entire trailer is Scorpion, because in the later games,
he's like everyone's favorite character.
Well, yeah, but see, the problem is, I don't know if for those of you who can remember back 20 years, you know, to when the first one. I mean, well, not 20 years. Actually, maybe
1995.
No, that's the first.
Are you saying back
first
to
movie?
Games.
I'm talking like the actual games.
The games didn't really have that much of a plot.
Well, but you can agree with me on this, that the central character in the games was Liu Kang.
Well, he was the central character in the movies too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's they're detracting away from that, and that Street Fighter was another good example of that.
Yeah,
they detracted away from. They made Guile the central character in the first Street Fighter movie, and then they made Chun Li the central character in Street Fighter: The Legend of Chun Li. Ha ha! Knock on wood. So, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna give it a tentative thumbs up, only because I like the way I sort of like the way they're going with it, but it's all dependent on how I feel after I see it.
Yeah, like I'm gonna give it a thumbs up just because Mortal Kombat as a series has always been about the brutal, the gore, and making it going with the gritty, realistic approach means that they have a lot of room there to get really.
I will say that scene
and really brutal.
In the trailer where Johnny Cage and Baraka are fighting,
yeah,
that is pretty fucking tight.
Yeah, like I'm not gonna knock that shit.
No, the actual fighting in this trailer, if that's like the very snip they're gonna show us, and normally they only show like the lowest, you know, I'm gonna say if the fighting is on par or better than that, I'll give it a thumbs up.
All right,
in my opinion. So I'll give that a thumbs up, because that fight alone was like, that actually was like jaw-dropping. I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Holy
and like
shit.
The camera work, from the look of that trailer, the camera work looks really cool too.
Yeah, it's definitely a little, it's a way different take on the story.
All right, so next one, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I gotta give this one a thumbs down.
Yeah.
I give it a thumbs down because knowing the way they're going to go with it, It's gonna be CG again.
Well, this statement's probably gonna piss off a lot of people who grew up in the 80s, but I never liked Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I never liked them. Just
you
like,
know what
the
it
whole
is?
Idea was always stupid to me, and I just never.
It's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
Like Vegemite.
Well, yeah, they are big in Australia too, so
I
have no idea if that's true.
No, I mean, I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to give this a tentative thumbs down.
I'm going to give it a thumbs down just because I don't like the series. So
I'm just saying, because I like the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies. Well, okay, that's a lie. Well, I like one, and then I like the Ninja Rat
from
two.
Did you see the third one? I mean, that shit was
Turtles in Time? Yeah,
awful.
I saw it. That's why
awful.
I went back. That's why I redacted the first statement I said. I was like,
yeah.
I like the movies. Wait, I like the first
except
two.
Except for the one that was awful.
Well, and see, the thing was, when they did Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they just they did another one. But
yeah,
it was all
the
CG.
The animated one. Or
yeah.
CG one.
It was CG, and I honestly was like, no, I'm
didn't
done.
See
just
it.
Forget it.
Honestly, I'm kind of confused at myself as to why I don't like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because it seems like something I would enjoy. Like, I've bought into crazier shit than that. Like, it's not the most far-fetched concept I've ever heard. It's pretty out there, but for some reason, I just always did not care for it.
Yeah. Well,
so,
all right,
thumbs
so
down.
We're both thumbs down.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
You know what? In my opinion, nothing's going to top the 1992 film, so I'm going to give it thumbs down.
I'm going to give it thumbs sideways.
So you're going to give it the M. Bison salute?
I'm giving it the M. Bison. Planet of the Apes. They already had one. We don't need another one. So definite thumbs down.
Yeah, I was going to say, Charlton Heston, that's a franchise that doesn't need to be touched. They didn't have to do it when Marky Mark was in it. I honestly don't think that you can improve
right.
on the Heston movies.
Yeah, like you don't get to do it. You don't get a do-over if the original series has already gone on way past its prime.
Yeah.
Because there were already too many Planet of the Apes movies as it was.
Well, there was it. Planet of the Apes...
Return
to Planet
of
the
Apes.
Journey to the Center of Planet of the Apes.
Beneath the Planet of the Apes.
Journey to the Center of Planet of the Apes.
Okay.
All right, so yeah, thumbs down,
thumbs down.
On Planet of the Apes.
Police Academy.
This one I'm confused on. Why would you want to remake Police Academy?
I don't know. Like, it's just, it's such a product of its time, you know? Like, it's one of those series that doesn't really fit.
And another thing is, the characters that were in that movie, and when we talk about these movies, we have to go off the first one.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you don't have the guy who does the sound effects, you can't. How are you going to make a Police Academy movie?
You can't.
You can't. Like, it's not possible.
And honestly, even
is
though
is that guy even still working?
Oh, probably. And even though he's not working anymore, I honestly thought that Steve Guttenberg was the definitive character in that film.
Oh, so it was always the sound effect. No.
No, Steve Guttenberg is like
no,
one
definitely.
Of the central characters.
I want to look up that guy's name real quick.
Okay.
But yeah, no, go ahead with what you were saying.
No, I was just, in my opinion, I mean, without Steve Guttenberg, I think his name was Michael Harris. I'm not sure.
Kerry Mahoney was the Steve Guttenberg character.
Yes.
What guy were you thinking of?
Michael Winslow.
Yeah, Michael Winslow. Thank you. That's the voice actor guy.
Now, if
sound effect.
And here's another thing. Scroll down a little more.
Sure.
We're looking all right. Now we're looking at the list of the film and television series.
Yeah, that's definitely had a
okay,
long enough
now,
run.
Now this is a prime example of a reboot because Police Academy is Police Academy the original. Police Academy 2, their first assignment.
Police Academy 3,
back in training. Police Academy 4, Citizens on Patrol. Police Academy 5, Assignment Miami Beach.
Wait, there was an animated series of Police Academy?
Apparently so.
Are you serious?
Apparently so.
I gotta look this shit up when I get home. Did you know that there was an animated series for Bill and Ted?
I honestly had no idea.
Bill
and Ted? Oh, no, I knew that.
Bill and Ted's Bogus...
Did you know that Biodome was originally supposed to be the third Bill and Ted film?
Really?
Yeah, but right before, where'd you hear that? No, it was. If you look it up on IMDb, it actually says Biodome was originally supposed to be the third Bill and Ted film.
Wow,
but
it's too much work for me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's too much work. Then was it Police Academy 6: City Under Siege? Police Academy Mission to Moscow. I actually remember that movie. That's how sad it is. I actually remember that.
I barely remember the first one. I don't even remember anything.
And see, the thing is, Steve Guttenberg, I mean, he's hard up for work lately. He'd probably kill to be in that new... I haven't heard anything from Steve Guttenberg since the 80s.
God, what has he done? Let's look it up real quick.
Has he done anything?
I would venture that he has not, other than maybe bit roles. Like, maybe cameos on sitcoms or something. Yeah, he's on Dancing with the Stars now.
He was eliminated. No, he was on Dancing with the Stars in 2008, and he was eliminated on April 1st.
Right, but that's what he's been doing. That's what he was in. He's at the bottom of the barrel.
Let's see.
Yeah, what was the last movie he was in? What was the last movie he's in that we've actually heard of?
All right, well,
The Poseidon Adventure.
Scroll up.
That was the last movie he was in.
Yeah, scroll up. Let's see if I can actually see it.
Right there. 2005, The Poseidon Adventure.
I didn't see that.
Oh, it was not good. Another remake that sucked.
Three Men and a Little Lady, that's the last one I saw.
Really?
Yep.
I've heard of Zeus and Roxanne, though I've never seen it.
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, so the last one he was in that I've heard of was Poseidon Adventure in 2005, and that movie sucked. So, yeah, his career is pretty much in the crapper. I mean, he's on Dancing with the Stars, for God's sake.
You know, actually, me and a couple of friends were actually postulating that it was... Remember when all the celebrities were dying off last year?
Yeah.
We actually were making the assumption it was Steve Guttenberg going on a killing spree.
That's pretty good.
Like, could you imagine that? Like, you know, they're still getting royalty checks, and Steve Guttenberg's just sitting there sharpening his knives.
Yeah. Like, just eating Doritos and, like, crossing out their eyes on a chart. Like, this could have been me.
Okay.
Who did this to me?
Who am I? No. All right, what's next on the list?
I did this to me.
All right.
Next one, I've never even seen the first one or heard of it. The Howling. I think it's something to do with werewolves, but that's a total thumb sideways just because I have no idea what it is.
And Bison Salute.
Yeah. National Lampoon's Vacation. That's
no,
a
thumbs
down.
Down.
You don't touch
no,
that movie.
Just,
like,
no. Just whoever's got the idea in their head that they can reboot a series that really just doesn't need to be rebooted simply because it was good the first time. I mean, and let's go through the list here. There was National Lampoon's Vacation, European Vacation, Christmas Vacation, and now and then the last one I think was Vegas Vacation. See, here's the thing.
Did you say European Vacation?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah. Then Vegas Vacation was the last one.
I've seen all those movies, and consistently, I can say that all those movies are good. I don't see the reason for having
decent.
To reboot it.
At least decent. I mean, they weren't all great, but the
first
one.
Oh, no.
They're
great, and then they're good.
Yeah, so...
Like, the first one, great.
Yeah. So which
European
I
Vacation, good.
National Lampoon's Vacation is one that I would say is probably in the untouchable category.
So thumbs down.
Yeah. Next, Godzilla. They had enough chances. You know what? There already was a reboot of Godzilla, and it was called Cloverfield. Yeah. Thumbs down.
I was going to say, because, I don't know, I only saw 20 minutes of that.
Yeah.
I always thought it was Cthulhu, but whatever.
It was basically a Godzilla. I mean, it's a monster movie. Like, it's a monster.
No, no, yeah, I got it. It's cool.
Next one, again, I've never heard of it. Jack Ryan.
No, what that is it's the espionage film starring Harrison Ford from the 90s, Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah, never seen any of them.
They're rebooting. It's basically they're Tom Clancy novels. They're rebooting the Tom Clancy novel series starring.
They're rebooting the novels, or
they're rebooting the film series that was based on the novels. The central character's name was Jack Ryan.
That reminds me. That's an interesting thing to think about. What if they could do reboots for books? Like, how crazy would that be if someone rebooted a book? Or did a remake of a book? Like, this is why like literature is always going to be considered like higher than, you know, other forms of media, because they don't pull shit like this. Like, no one's ever no one's ever tried to remake a book.
Yeah, because if somebody went to, I don't know, like somebody went to Timothy Hahn and said, "Hey, can I rewrite your Star Wars books?"
Timothy's on. Z.
That's what I said. Timothy Zahn.
You said Timothy Hahn.
Didn't I?
I don't know why I keep correcting you today. Like, whatever. No one cares.
No, because I keep screwing up. That's fine.
You have to put in your place.
That's what you're here for.
Aren't thou bored?
What?
Snap into a Slim Jim. Sorry, that was just a throwback there.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say thumbs down on this, because I'm
thumb sideways because I don't know it, but if it... but yeah, like, the thing with the books, I think part of it, or really all of it, is because authors generally get to keep the rights to their series, whereas movies' rights are up in the air and it's sold to the highest bidder. So an author would never go back and remake his book. Because for some reason...
He wouldn't see a reason to.
If you make the same movie again, that's fine. If you were to write the same book again, people would, you know, accuse you of plagiarizing yourself. And the last one is just embarrassing.
Embarrassing maybe to you. I think it's hilarious.
I mean, it's not embarrassing to me. It's embarrassing for the person who's making it. Let's just say it. Last Airbender has been announced for a reboot. That movie just came out.
Like, what, a month and a half ago?
Yeah. The movie's not even been out 2 months, and they're already announcing a reboot. That is how terribly the first one did. I can't even, like... I can't even,
It's just... I mean, I've heard of M. Night Shyamalan put out some stinkers, man.
Yeah.
But not one that's... Not one that's gonna be... redone.
Oh, I like this. Just, this is a little thing I gotta laugh at, but, on the Wikipedia entry for The Last Airbender, The Last Airbender is a 2010 American epic adventure, and they put epic in quotes, which I just find amusing. I haven't seen it. I've just heard a lot of crap about it, just that it was really, really bad. And what do you expect? M. Night Shyamalan hasn't made a good movie since... Well, some would say ever, but I guess The Sixth Sense.
I would say The Sixth Sense, yeah.
Yeah. So, if you were really expecting him to take a series... Like, he can barely do his own ideas well. So if you're expecting him to take someone else's idea and make a decent movie out of it, then I don't know what you were smoking. So... I'm reading about the potential sequels. Did the movie do well enough to earn sequels?
Let me ask you this. Look at other movies that have had sequels.
I don't know. I don't want to go down this road. Because now we're getting into, like, did this movie deserve a sequel or not? Like, that's a decision.
Well, I mean, we could just say that's a simple answer. No.
No. That's the answer. No.
No.
Never. Last Airbender huge thumbs down.
No. Thumbs up.
No, they...
I would say reboot this series, but get someone competent in the director's chair.
Alright, so a do-over then.
So I would say yes, a do-over in this case. Don't make sequels. Fire M. Night Shyamalan. Get someone competent in the director's chair. And fire the casting director as well, because every single person in that movie was miscast. Every single person that was supposed to be an Inuit was white.
Is that I've never seen the series.
Yes.
Is that what they're supposed to be? Inuits?
Yeah. No, it's Aang is supposed to be an Asian. And the two people that hang out, the two sidekicks...
Like, I thought the series takes place in, like, China or something.
It takes place, like, all over the fucking world.
Oh.
But the problem is, it's... Aang is Asian. And the other two are supposed to be Inuits. Because they're from some waterbending tribe in the
How many series, honestly, have Inuit characters in them? That's
exactly.
Not a lot.
And how much of a slap in the face is it that they're Inuit characters and they get two white breads... to fucking play the character. Really? That's kind of a punch in the dick.
Yeah. They miscast the snow Mexicans. I'm sorry, that was a little racist there.
Just
by which I mean a lot racist. I only said that just because of all the racial slurs that there are in the world. To me, snow Mexicans might be the funniest.
I don't even think that's. Like, I don't even. Did you just make that up?
I wish I could say I'd made that up, but no, I've heard that before.
Really?
Yeah. No. I mean,
what?
I apologize. Like, if there's any, if by some chance there are some Inuit or Inuit listeners or listeners of Inuit descent, I did not mean anything by that. I just think it's the funniest racial slur I've ever heard in my life. Snow Mexicans. So. I said it again. We might have to start bleeping things on this show, which I don't want to set a precedent for, though, so I just won't say it again.
Okay.
So
fair enough.
All right, yeah, I'll change my thumb. It sounds like it's probably an interesting series, and maybe it deserves a better chance.
I mean, I
like. But if that one sucks, then they're done.
Yeah, if the next one sucks, they're done. So we'll give it a tentative thumbs up.
All right, so that's all. There's one last thing I want to do on this episode, because we are getting a little long on time. But there's one last thing I want to do when we're talking about reboots. I want to talk about this blog post I found. Of course, we'll give credit to where credit is due. It's on a site called MovieRetriever.com, and it's posted by someone named Turk182. It's 20 film
Turk
franchises.
Turk182.
What?
Turk182?
Yeah, that's what I said. Does that mean something to you?
No, it's just...
Okay.
I'm just saying.
You alright there?
Internet anonymity at its finest.
Yeah, I mean, you think to write something to get it onto an actual, like, site, you would need to use your real name for
yeah.
this. Like, everybody on Cracked, I'm pretty sure, has to use their real name. So this is his list of 20 film franchises that he believes are in need of a reboot. And we're going to tear this list a new asshole.
Okay.
That being said, there are a couple entries on here that I actually agree with, and there is the number one entry redeems it a little bit, because the number one, I do believe, is number one and is a good idea. But let's start with number 20, which is a little perplexing, The Karate Kid.
No.
There is one. Like,
no.
Well, what I'm confused about is this article is dated April 27th, 2009. I'm pretty sure the Karate Kid remake movie had been announced before then. Like, how did he not know there was already a Karate Kid remake in the works? So
it's just, okay, first of all, this is something I'm going to go on record saying, because I'm a kid who was born in the 80s, so 80s cultures. This film series, in my opinion, should have stopped after 2. 3 was just a rehash of the original story anyway. The next Karate Kid was a complete shit fest.
Yeah.
And honestly, the only redeeming fact about this new movie is that Will Smith's kid gets the shit kicked out of him for 2.5 hours.
I can deal with that.
That's the only reason I would pay money to go see this. Because obviously, you're never going to see a movie in which Will Smith's going to get the crap kicked out of him.
Well, honestly, that's kind of the big reason why I'm actually going to go see Scott Pilgrim versus the World, just because it's getting to watch
Michael Cera get
Michael
the shit
Cera
beat
get
out of
the
him.
Shit kicked out of him. Which is to say, though, that I actually am a big fan of those books, and the only reason I'm annoyed at it is because I think Michael Cera was horribly miscast for the role of Scott Pilgrim.
You know what? Time will tell on that one.
Yeah, I guess it will. I'm still going to go see
it. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, time will tell.
All right, well, I do have a bias. I don't like Michael Cera. But
Well, that's okay, because I don't either.
Number 19, Jurassic Park.
No. No.
Yeah.
No. No, 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 no.
Well, I think what they should do, like, we could use it. It's, we're about due for another dinosaur movie. Not another Jurassic Park movie, necessarily. You
yeah,
know what?
Okay.
Here's a little out there idea. You know what would actually be cool, though? And probably not a lot of people are going to get this, because probably not that many people have played this game. But there was a game on PS1 called Dino Crisis.
Yes.
Which was basically Resident Evil with dinosaurs. Like, it was made by Capcom. It's the same style of game with the terrible
I remember
angles.
That.
And that game actually would make a cool movie, because it was like, instead of Jurassic Park, where it's, you know, a bunch of stupid tourists or something, like, in a park, Dino Crisis was about, like, you know, an elite team with, like, futuristic weaponry fighting dinos in some, like, crazy-ass compound. Which, even if it would have a...
So sort
plot,
like, it's sort of like the Thunderdome.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't know if...
Maybe a bad example. I mean, it's basically...
Well, Thunderdome
they fight
never
for sport.
A bad example.
Well, yeah, they fight for sport.
I don't think they were fighting for sport. I think they were, like, investigating this disturbance or something. And,
I would honestly
shit,
love to
dinosaurs.
See that. Yeah, I was to say, yeah, guns and dinosaurs, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I honestly think it'd be pretty goddamn satisfying to see see someone blast a velociraptor and have the shotgun.
Yes, so Dino Crisis movie would be kind of cool, as long as it's not Uwe Boll who's actually doing it.
Exactly.
Because this is exactly the sort of movie he would make.
Okay, well, I would say, in my opinion, Dino Crisis, sure. Jurassic Park, no. Jurassic Park is another prime example of a franchise that just should have stopped after its first movie.
Definitely.
Because the first Jurassic Park was the apex of that entire series. I mean, 2 wasn't bad, wasn't great either, and then 3 was just, why? Why bother at this point?
Yeah. There, like, didn't 3 have, like, there was a scene where, like, this black girl, like, takes out a velociraptor by using gymnastics?
That was 2.
That was 2?
That was 2.
Well, then it was, oh, God, it already sunk that low by the second movie.
Yep.
Was 3 the one where the T-Rex came back to the city?
That was 2 as
that
well.
Was also 2. What happened in 3? I mean, how do you get it any lower than number 2, then? How do you
it
sink
was,
any lower
it
than
was,
that?
It was, 1 was the good one. 2 was the one where they captured the dinosaur, took it to the mainland.
Some King Kong
and that,
type shit.
Right yeah, there. Right? But, get this. In the third one, they built a brand new dinosaur. Called a Spinosaurus.
Oh, jeez.
And him and the T-Rex have a rumble at the end.
All right.
And T-Rex wins.
Thumbs down. Let's move
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Jurassic Park, no.
Number 18, Scream.
No.
No?
No. 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 Because that is a franchise that can be summed up in 3 words. Bitches are dumb. End of story.
Colin, that could pretty much sum up any horror franchise.
Exactly. So why would we bother spending $100 million rebooting a franchise when it could be summed up in 3 words?
Well, the thing about Scream that I've always kind of found curious is that Scream it was itself supposed to be a parody of horror movies. So how, like, clueless did the makers of Scary Movie have to be to make a parody
of a parody?
Of a parody? I mean, did they not realize that Scream was satire?
See, that's the problem. I don't think...
Or did they just not care?
I think the guy who directed Scream was originally
movies.
Under the assumption that it was going to be a parody, but then took himself too seriously when he made 2 more.
Yeah, I mean, all those movies are just Turd Ferguson's.
Yeah, they are.
Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Number 17, actually... I know I've said we're tearing this list apart, but this one I actually sort of don't
mind. I actually would go to see this.
A Tremors reboot?
I'd go see that.
Yeah.
I would.
Maybe. Is Kevin Bacon even still around? Is he still...
Kevin Bacon's still around.
Yeah, last movie he was in with was Death Wish. Remake or reboot of the Charles Bronson movie.
What?
Yeah. I'm not saying it was good.
What?
You didn't see this?
No!
Yeah, they...
God damn it!
They remade Death Wish, or rebooted it, since there were a bunch of Death Wish movies.
That's it. Everything is ruined
starring
forever.
Starring Kevin Bacon.
Everything's ruined forever.
Well...
No, seriously, that's it. Game over, man.
Game over, man!
I'm not even joking.
Game
that's
over!
That really does suck.
I'm sorry to have told you that, then. I didn't realize you were going to react as...
God damn it.
Well, let's keep this moving. So I'll give a thumbs up to Tremors.
Yeah, I'll see a reboot of Tremors.
16, An American Werewolf in London?
I didn't even think that was a popular enough movie to merit a reboot.
Right, like, how is that even relevant? Like, I didn't know there was, like... I didn't know there was a huge, you know, fan community for American Werewolf in London. So
thumbs down. Yeah, thumbs down.
Thumbs down for that.
Thumbs down.
Yeah, what is wrong with this guy? Okay, number 15. Biggest thumbs down I've ever given.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Back to the Future?
No.
That is definitely untouchable.
In fact, honestly, whoever this Turk 182 is needs to be, like, slapped in the face for even conceiving such a blasphemy.
He needs to be slapped in the face with his own dick after someone cuts it off.
Yeah.
That was pretty harsh, I know, but that's
how adamant
I am about Back to the Future not being messed with.
No, you don't reboot Back to the Future. This is no.
They're like, I don't care what you say. Those movies are, like, practically perfect.
Yeah.
So, fuck you, Turk 182, and...
So, thumbs down.
Never
thumbs
show your face down. Again. Oh, yeah, definite thumbs. Oh, and wait, in case we didn't hate this guy enough already, let me just read this part. I love how these articles for these sites always use the we, so that person can't, you know, so there's no accountability.
Really?
Because it's you, it's not we. Like, I don't think anyone else would agree with this. But we know this is going to lead to major hate mail, but here's an idea that would make a truckload of cash. Zac Efron in a Back to the Future reboot. Yeah, it might be a sign of the apocalypse, but it would be a license to print money. I'm not even going to respond to that because there's so much rage boiling up inside me that I might have to rip something in half.
This kid needs to go die in a fire. I'm serious.
All right. Well,
first of all,
let's keep going.
Suggesting the idea that they should remake Back to the Future, and
but
secondly,
then having the tenacity
to say Zac Efron, that little no talent waste of space.
Yeah. The audacity, I meant to say the audacity.
Who cares? I'm too angry to use proper English right now.
I can't even do words right now.
Yeah.
I just want to do violence.
Ugh.
All right. Let's cool it for a second. Deep breath.
Okay. I'm good. Thumbs
now,
down.
Okay, thumbs down. 14, Superman.
We don't even need to bother with that.
I think what was our original... I think it was a... Didn't we give that a...
Thumbs up.
You gave it a thumbs up. I think I gave it a...
You were giving it an M. Bison salute.
The Matrix?
No.
Again, no.
That's...
Leave
once
my
again,
Matrix
that's,
alone.
That's... Once again, that's a... It's a prime example of a franchise that just should have stopped after its first movie.
Yeah, so leave
it doesn't need to be redone.
Oh, God. Oh, God, no.
Oh, come on.
Star
really?
Wars.
Number 12,
he
Star Wars?
He thinks we should do a reboot of Star Wars.
Okay, first question. Who the fuck would you find that could outdo Harrison Ford as Han Solo? If someone in that article is mentioned and it's a fucking actor working today, this kid, seriously, oh.
Now, he does not suggest anything of that sort. But, God, I don't even want to read that. I don't, like, what? Leave Star Wars out of this. Like, you saw me get pissed off about Back to the Future, and I love Star Wars a lot more than I love Back to the Future, so, number 11, God, ending this show on such a down note. Gremlins. That one I'm kind of in. I don't really care. About Gremlins.
Just as long as Phoebe Cates isn't in it.
Like, whatevs. Gremlins are
Gremlins, I mean, no, Gremlins, I could see them rebooting. It's just...
Yeah, I don't think anyone would care.
I give it an M. Bison salute, if anything.
Yeah, M. Bison. 10, Ghostbusters.
No.
I mean...
Just...
If they ever...
Again,
make a third Ghostbusters movie, which they're not, that'd be cool, but...
Once again, it's a prime example of a movie that just should have stopped.
Right.
After the first go.
Well, there's only one more.
No, I'm saying... There was one and two, and then there's a possibility of them making a third one.
I think everyone would be psyched to hear about a third one. I mean, two was good as well.
Yeah, but the problem is, all of them are, like, in their, like, 60s at this point.
Yeah, I mean, you couldn't, that's another one that you just couldn't replace those actors.
Right, no, that's what I'm saying. You couldn't replace the original actors, so what would you do? Would the original actors train new guys? Because the new guys is going to have to come from an existing group of actors. And just, in my opinion, you cannot...
Well, I will say that could be an interesting idea, having, like, a new Ghostbusters movie. But this wouldn't be a reboot, though. Well, I guess it would sort of be a reboot.
It would be
where you have, like, all the old guys, like, training new Ghostbusters.
Okay, so
that
this
actually would be pretty cool.
That's a new category, though. Because that's... No, that's... No, that's
that
a re-
actually...
No,
I
that's
might
a
have
reboot.
To change my opinion.
No.
Cool.
No, it's a reboot, because it's taking the ideas from the first movie, but continuing to add something new and fresh to them.
Yeah.
So it still technically is considered
a
reboot.
Which is what a good reboot is about.
Exactly. So
I will add that caveat. A Ghostbusters reboot is acceptable as long as they pay homage to the original actors in some way, preferably by including them.
If they make a third Ghostbusters movie, it's going to get a tentative thumbs up. Okay.
Number 9, The Crow. I don't even care. Yeah, I never saw The Crow. M. Bison.
Don't even care, M. Bison.
Lara Croft, Tomb Raider.
Thumbs down. I don't even need to go an explanation for this.
Number
thumbs
7,
down.
Evil Dead.
No.
No. Like,
no. Thumbs down.
I really like those movies, but not as much that I couldn't... That I'd be pissed off if they remade it, because it could be cool. Evil Dead's a cool concept, and it could be cool with new effects, but at the same time...
If you don't have Bruce Campbell, it's
Bruce Campbell's
no point.
Getting a little old, and also just... I don't know if Sam Raimi would want to go back and... retouched.
Actually,
that really made his career.
Well, see, that's the problem. I've heard rumors of Evil Dead 4.
Well, he is sort of trying to go back to making those type of movies.
But the problem is, though, it's Evil Dead 4, but it's not going to be Ash.
Because Drag Me to Hell had the spirit of an Evil Dead movie. And now, as to whether I thought it was good or not, I won't get into that. But, I could see it happening if what you say is true, if he's already talking about a new one. If it's a sequel, more likely, but if to actually reboot it. Well, if you think about it, Evil Dead 2 isn't really a sequel, it's just a reboot. Like, Evil Dead 2 is taking the plot of the first one and making it goofy instead of serious.
Yeah.
So the series has already been rebooted, if you think about it.
Pretty much.
Because the first one was actually pretty scary. Like, the first Evil Dead was...
Yeah. The first
pretty
one was
crazy.
Scary as fuck, and then the
and
second
they
one...
They joke around with it. The second one, they turned it... The second one, there's a lot of comedy, and then Army of Darkness is basically like watching a cartoon.
Yeah, but I love Army of Darkness.
Oh, yeah, I mean, Army of Darkness is like a guilty pleasure for me. Number 6, Hellraiser. I'm actually going to raise a thumbs up for Hellraiser, because...
I'm going to give it the M. Bison salute.
Because... It's one of those... I give it a thumbs up, definite. And here's why. Because Hellraiser is another one of those series that had so many sequels that it just stagnated and decayed. But the first movie, just by itself, it's a really cool concept. Clive Barker, you know, it was one of his first movies, I think. And
yeah, Clive Barker, when he's not doing video games, is actually quite a talented writer.
So Hellraiser is just a really cool concept. And it deserves to be treated again in a way that isn't... You know, stupid. So I will give a thumbs up for Hellraiser. This does not redeem him for Star Wars and Back to the Future. I still hate this guy and want him to die in a pretty
fire.
Tragic accident.
Die in a fire.
So number 5,
no.
Alien.
No.
Let that series die.
No. Just no.
Just leave it alone.
Don't bother.
Thumbs down. Number 4. This one I'm. This is a tough one for me. Number 4 is Mad Max, and...
I give it the M. Bison salute.
I'm gonna give it the thumbs up again.
You know what? Actually, no. I might give it the
thumbs
up. As much
as I hate Mel Gibson, I did really like the Mad Max movies.
Yeah.
And
and once again, it's one of those films that it was good in its own right, and
not
but
untouchable.
Exactly. But to be perfectly honest, with some adjustments done, you know, with some of the graphics adjustments,
yeah,
and some of, you know, the bigger blockbuster films nowadays, I think it could be turned into something phenomenal.
Right, because I mean, those movies were pretty low budget, so.
But they were still fucking
great.
They're
still good, but they're low budget, so there's a lot you could do with it nowadays with, you know, bigger budget and better effects. So I'm gonna say thumbs up.
Yeah, I'll change mine from M. Bison to thumbs up.
As long as Mel Gibson has nothing to do with it.
Yes.
Which would be tough, because. You know. Number three, Poltergeist.
Actually, I'm going to say M. Bison's Salute, because I've just...
This is an M. Bison Salute for me.
Because I just... I never really cared enough about Poltergeist.
Number two, The Muppets.
Which one?
I guess he means the Muppet movie. I mean, as he points out, the last Muppet movie there was, Muppets from Space, came out 10 years ago. And I'm a huge fan of the Jim Henson Company. Like, I love Farscape.
But just what?
I love
what
pretty
the
much
hell,
everything they do.
Yeah, but what the hell could you reboot about the Muppets?
Well, that's the thing. Like, you could really... They haven't really died, so they're still around, and you can put them in whatever sort of... It's again, the Muppets is about the characters, so you can put them in whatever sort of scenario you want. So it wouldn't even be a reboot, because there's not, like, a premise. There's not, like, an origin story to the Muppets that I know of.
No, there's not.
That needs to be, like, rehashed.
Unless you...
It's,
unless
it would
you,
just be another Muppets
well,
movie.
No, that's not true. Unless you watch the Muppet Babies TV series.
I saw that series.
So did I.
But, I don't know where to put the thumb on this one, because I don't even know if that technically qualifies as a reboot.
I'm going to call it M. Bison Salute.
It would just be another Muppet movie.
I think I'm just going to call it M. Bison Salute.
Yeah, that's the
easy I'm going to have to.
And number one... The one thing that redeems this list a little bit, since we already went on about this, but this guy agrees that RoboCop would be great for a reboot.
Okay, but let's not judge too quickly, because in the opening line of this description, it
true.
Reads...
Even when he's doing something right, he still manages
to do something
be a
wrong.
Douchetard.
If Mick G... can take
an
iconic
universe
like
that
of the Terminator and breathe life into it with a reboot, why can't someone do the same for RoboCop? Okay, first of all...
Did he even see Terminator Salvation?
Okay, first... And that's just a horribly titled movie.
Come
who
on.
Was it... Who was getting saved?
I don't know.
Was it the Terminators who were getting saved?
I think it was the actual Terminator, the one who was a... God, what's that guy's name?
But he died at the end! There's no salvation. He died.
Well, generally, you can still get salvation even if you die. At least that's, you know, what the Christians say.
You're a Jew and I'm an atheist. So how the hell would we make a valid point on that? Think about it.
I don't know. I mean, thumbs up, just because we already...
Yeah, thumbs up for RoboCop, before. But this guy's... God, he's a fucking moron.
Yeah. Also, this he's also just kind of mean to... He's just... He said, Detroit practically looks like the Vision in Verhoeven's original film already. It's like, alright, it's like kicking someone while they're down.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know Detroit's bad off, but
you
Jesus,
don't
be a
them.
Douche about it, goddamn.
Alright, well, that is Turk182's list of 20 film franchises in need of reboot. And Turk182, if you're out there somewhere and you want to debate this with me and try and give me a better reason why you think Back to the Future and Star Wars need to be messed with, you know, come see us. Give us a ring or send us...
Or better yet, get some lighter fluid, spray it on your house, light it on fire, and step inside.
Well, that's the quick way, I guess. And the easy way.
Yeah.
And we are certainly big proponents of taking the easy way out.
Aren't we all?
All right. Well, that was a good reboot there.
Yeah.
Of Boldly Going Nowhere.
All right.
The show that no matter how many times we do it, could probably always stand to get a little better. That might need to be our slogan, like Boldly Going Nowhere. Could always be better.
No. Boldly Going Nowhere.
Eh. Eh. Maybe boldly going nowhere. This time it'll be better, we promise. All right, well...
Next time I'll be better, I swear.
All right, well, until that next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
And we are boldly going nowhere. Boldly Going Nowhere is a Los Tres Monos production.
No bloggers were harmed in the making of this podcast, but we're looking for you, Turk182.
Yeah!